Let's sing a verse of number 500, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Feel the Lord has truly blessed us this morning to hear the gospel presented. Power and demonstration of the Spirit of Almighty God. Somewhat hesitant to even make any more statements because I certainly don't want to take away from anything that we've already heard. The message of God's grace is a message that does need to be preached. God has called men to preach the Word. Preach the Word, to be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We recognize that preaching is not speech-making. It's not just standing before people and coming up with some ideas and thoughts that we can learn from the schools of men. But preaching is that which has to be given by Almighty God. And I feel like we've seen that this morning and throughout this meeting, the Lord blessing those ministers that stood to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And I ask you just to pray for me as I stand before you. I have a passage of scripture that's on my mind that I know is very familiar to you, but it's where I feel led this morning to go. It's Romans 8, and I'd like to begin with verse 28, Romans 8. And read down through the end of Romans 8. And again, I know this is very familiar ground. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As Brother Stan was preaching, he mentioned about the dash that we live between our birth and death when the spirit and soul leave this body. And when you think about your dash, sometimes it seems like it's more of a dot than a dash. It seems to pass so very, very quickly. And I think about how much we need Him. How much I need Him. And how much as you, as God's children, need Him. Life has so many things that you face. The Bible doesn't tell us that our life in the Lord is going to be clouds of all wonderful things. They're going to be mixtures of joy and sorrow. We're not going to have everything go the way we want it to go. You say, well, we already know that, preacher. You don't have to remind us or tell us about that. We've learned that. There are thoughts in this world that if you do certain things, you make certain commitments, you follow certain plans, that you'll get to miss all of the problems that might come your way. The Bible doesn't teach that. It says things like, very clearly, in this world you shall have tribulation. It says here, even in this passage, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. There are things that come like tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. And sometimes we might get the idea, if I can just get in the right path, or just if I'll just follow the Lord, if I'll just do the right things, then I'll miss some of those things. Sometimes we may even feel things are happening to us because God doesn't care about us, or God doesn't love us, or that we've done so many things wrong that there's no way that we can ever get things right. Well, the reality is, yes, we have done so many things wrong that there's no way we'll ever get things right in and of ourselves. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none good, no, not one. The Bible teaches that by the works of righteousness shall no flesh be justified in His sight, which means I can't do enough to undo all the things that I've done wrong. I can't do enough, even if I try to do it, even when I would do good. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7, I find evil present with me. Isn't that the case? Even through this meeting, as I've heard these preachers, so many vain and empty thoughts that God is not the author of, so much confusion is going on up here in my head. Last night, I just went out and walked on a trail, and I tried to commune with the Lord and just ask Him, God, help me to be a better pastor. Help me to be a better dad. And I feel, even on those efforts, a constant reminder that I'll never be what I really hope and would want to be. And if you stay with that, it's all right to get there. But if you stay with that, boy, I'll tell you, life is, you'll depress everybody. Ask my wife. All you have to do is hang around with a person like that very long and you get down. And it's certainly nothing that a preacher wants to bring into a pulpit other than to point to this very passage and what is being said here. Listen what it says. Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now that passage is greatly misused today in this world, even to the point of saying and pointing to the idea of the thought that God is in some way the author of the confusion that's in this world. That God is the one who's caused these things to happen when God is not the author of sin. I want to say very clearly to you, this passage does not teach that God is the author of confusion, of the author of sin. Man sinned in the beginning, Man transgressed God's law. Sin entered into the picture. And death by sin. And sin has been the cause of so many things. God's judgment of sin. The illness, the weakness, the reason my eyes don't work so good, the reason my body's falling apart, the reason my foot hurts, the reason if this foot isn't hurting, the next day this foot will hurt, or the reason I get up in the morning and wonder why this is going wrong and that's going wrong. And sometimes we want to say, well, is God mad at me? Have I done something wrong? Well, the answer is in one sense, yes, and in another sense, no. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we got our just deserts from the Lord right here, right now, this moment, we would be separated from Him forever in a place of torment because God sees sin as it is. You and I can't see it, but God sees it as it is. And it's that which separates me and Him from any fellowship. Because he who cannot look upon sin as a sinner cannot look upon me, and I have no way to restore that fellowship or bring myself back into that position. And if I try to do that, and I work at trying to do that, it's like I've said before, it's like trying to wash your windows with dirty water. Things don't get better. They just get worse. The good news, though, is there is a God who has loved you. If you're His child, you belong to Him. If you love Him, and that's an evidence, by the way, if you love Him. Somebody said, do I love the Lord? Do I love the Lord? You may wonder, do you love Him? Does the Lord love me? Well, some people say, well, the Lord loves you, and He'll love you if you love Him. The fact of the matter, if you love Him, we love Him. Why? Because He what? First loved us. So if you love the Lord, it isn't because you decided one day to do that. It's because He, a long time ago, had a love for you and even has given you life, which, by the way, without life, you have no ability to love because love is a fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, and if you don't have life, you can't have love. There's no way to love Him until He has first given you life, and then if He's given you life, you're able to love Him. So do you love the Lord? Well, if you love the Lord, can I say this to you? He loves you. If you love Him, He loves you. The reason you love Him is because He first loved you. And His love for you will never, ever, ever change. He has always loved you, and the God who changes not, who cannot change, whose promises cannot be broken, will love you and will continue to love you forever and ever, and nothing will ever separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can do that. And everything He does, let me show you the all things. It's everything He does. Not everything I do is for my good. I can give you a list of stuff that hadn't been for my good, that God is not the author of. But I'll tell you, God has overcame many of them. God has overruled many of them. Those brothers of Joseph thought they were doing him harm, but they didn't understand. God overruled that and even worked good out of it. And God's able to do that. God's not the author of their sin. God overruled their sin and brought good out of it. What God did was good. What they did was evil. And that's the way it is. And He says all things work together for good. I know there's a list of things here, and I know that list of things all work together for His good. But I'm telling you, the things that are under consideration in this verse exceed that list. It's every single thing that God has done for you and me in my life. I got a good companion. I believe that came from the Lord. I've got children that I love dearly. I believe that came from the Lord. I have friends, you that are here, that have meant so very much to me. I believe you've come from the Lord. I believe every good thing cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And as I look at my life, I can say this, that life has been filled and is filled today with many, many blessings. Sometimes I don't see them. That's what preaching does. It helps you see those blessings so that you and I might be at the foot of the Lord, of the Savior in our lives, at the foot of the cross, thanking Him daily for every single blessing that He's given to us. And it also helps us when you're in the midst of those troubles. Because you and I need someone in the midst of those troubles to look to. As a matter of fact, you need Him when you're not in trouble. You need Him when you are in trouble. And when you look to Him, young or old, young people, as you look to the Lord, middle age, as you look to the Lord, whatever, in the twilight years, as we look to the Lord, we will find in Him each and every day that which we stand in need of. And the good news is it isn't us who have to get ourselves fit to do that. He has already made us accepted in the Beloved and called us and told us to come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says in these verses, He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do you believe the Lord has a purpose and a plan for our lives? Do you believe that? I do. And I think of that little red sister asking, Sister Minnie asked yesterday about Orpah. And Ruth, and gave me a question. Well, it made me look, sister, and I think I always love those questions. And so I read Ruth. It's a short little book. You can read it real quick. I've read it four times this morning, and keep reading it. And there's a whole lot of preaching in that. I'm not ready to do it right now, but I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of preaching in the book of Ruth. But I think of that little woman. Little Ruth, Naomi, living in the land of Moab, going there looking because the famine had come in the land, and there they were in the land because of a famine that was in their homeland, and they've gone to the land of Moab, and there they are looking to find something and do find something until Naomi's husband, I just said I wasn't going to preach on this, but until Naomi's husband dies. And rather than return to their land, there's still nothing there. They remain there. And for 10 years, Ruth and Orpah and Naomi and Naomi's sons, who Orpah and Ruth, that's Naomi's daughter-in-laws, there they are in that country of Moab. And then the boys die. That had to be hard on Naomi, didn't it? I mean, it's hard to lose your husband. You love your children. It's hard to lose your children. And I thought, well, it had to be. And she was sad. Listen, she was a sad. She said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Because I'm full of bitterness. She had no clue what was about to happen with Ruth and what was happening and awaiting. Do you believe God already knew about Boaz? Do you believe God was already preparing all that? Do you believe? Listen, I know that He was. And the reason that I know He was is because there was a child that was going to be born in the lineage of Ruth that was going to come and be the one, very one that Abraham was told and promised. And there wasn't any possibility that little child wasn't going to be born. Though Ruth didn't know anything about it at the time, didn't have a clue about Boaz. Boaz was there being made ready. And all that was taking place, even the sadness. I'm not saying God is the author of all of those things, but I'm telling you God's hand was upon it. And God's hand's upon our life. We'll just stand still sometimes and wait on the Lord and just lean and look and depend upon Him. We'll be able to go through those hard times a whole lot better. Oh, I know I don't look happy, but I'm happy. I must look like a mess. But I want you to know the Lord's real. And the one we sing about is real. And the one we pray to is real. And He's loved you from before the very foundation of the world. So much so that He spared not His own Son, but sent Him to die and to bleed and to suffer for you, for Ruth, for Boaz, for every one of His children. And He's taking care of us. You sing, God will take care of you. You can sing it. And the reason it's true And I don't know the plan. I said, I don't know his plan, but I know his. And I don't even really like the word plan so much. I like the word purpose. I don't know what he's got in purpose in store for us, but I know he has it. And when I just sit back like a little child and trust him, life is beautiful. And when I don't, it doesn't matter how good things are, I'm a mess. Isn't that true? Where's your happiness found? Trusting in him. When do you have to trust in him? Every single day. Every single hour. Every single moment. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And outside of him, we can't do a thing. So may the Lord bless us to be more faithful, more trusting, and do it day by day, really hour by hour, moment by moment, and lean upon him. And remember, you don't know what the Lord's got in store and what he's working right now. You have no clue. I don't either. That's what makes it so wonderful. But I know this, he has those things ready for each and every one of his children. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I love you.